Welcome to everybody that's joined us since we started. Special welcome to any visitors or newcomers in the meeting this evening. And like I said at the beginning, we are a speaker meeting. The format is that we last for 90 minutes, so we'll be finishing it sort of 7:30-ish or so, and the speaker will be speaking for 40 or 45 minutes. And I'm going to hand you over to Jay, who's going to introduce our speaker this evening. So, Jay, thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hi, Jay.
The speaker that's speaking tonight, I haven't had the opportunity at this point, so I look forward to hearing her story. She came upon our meeting probably about a month ago when one of her sponsees that I met in service and in online came to us, and she was in the meeting listening to her. And I asked, since we're always looking for new people to share their experience with, I always want to find out about the next addict or the addict that's here that I don't know well, to hear their experience, strength, and hope. And we've had a couple of conversations back and forth on Messenger, and we've become friends on Facebook, and I look forward to hearing her story because it touches me, some of the things that I know she has gone through. So without further ado, Kirby, would you share with us?
Thank you so much, Jay. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Kirby.
Hi, it's a great day to be clean today, isn't it? Yes. I'm very honored to be able to share with you all, and I look forward to hearing back from you too. I was telling Jay earlier how online meetings are just so beneficial to not only newcomers, who this is the only form of communication they know, these kids these days, but also to those who can't get out to meetings as frequently as they want to or need to. So this is just an invaluable asset, so I'm honored to be a part of. So let me tell you about myself. My name is Kirby, and I am an addict. I came about these rooms in 2009, in June of 2009. My drug of choice was more. Yes, whatever you had, just give me more. And it took me a long time in my life to realize I was an addict. I thought because I had a job, because I looked clean, because I had a lot of friends, aka people mooching off of me, that I wasn't an addict. I just had a slight drug problem, so let me try a different drug. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, that cycle of talking ourselves out of the core issue, the exact nature of our problem, which is we have a disease, we have an illness. So I, on June 3rd of 2009, I never forget this night, because I'm one of the few people who are very blessed to have had surrender right away in my process. I was in the bedroom, the room I was living in my parents' home at my 30 plus years. Mind you, I still thought I was successful. And they had left for their summer home just that earlier that afternoon. And I was excited because that meant I could have people over now. But I remember doing some drugs and then looking up into the mirror. Now, in my 40 plus years of life, I've brushed my hair, I've put on pretty dresses, I've put on makeup, but I realized I never really looked in the mirror at myself. I looked at parts, pieces, things I picked and chose. But that night, I looked into my own eyes in that mirror, and I'll never forget, I saw death. I didn't recognize the reflection I saw. And I was frightened. I was so, so frightened. I looked around the room and I realized I hadn't left in 5 days. I hadn't eaten. I hadn't bathed. There's 3 cases of empty beer bottles and whiskey bottles It was frightening that here I was in isolation now, using and not taking care of myself, and just frightened. I picked up what was left of my drugs from the dresser that I was had my little, you know, stash going, and it wasn't my strength. It was my higher power that walked me to the bathroom and dumped all my drugs down the toilet right then and there. I still shake my head. I still can't believe that I had the strength to do that. I never believed in a God. I was raised as a Catholic girl, but it was something I mocked. It was something that I made fun of people for having a religion. Spirituality and religion are two different things. And that night, I gained spirituality. I know that I did not make a decision to try and stay clean or throw out my drugs by myself. I know that higher power intervened. About 6 months after that, I was doing okay. I was physically, I was getting better. I didn't go to a rehab. I have a medical background. So I just called up some friends and we did it ourselves, which I don't recommend, mind you, but that's my story. And then I started feeling just so icky with myself. I started feeling all these things coming through my mind, all these thoughts that I was ashamed of thinking, and I didn't know what to do with this shame, guilt, this anger. When I was growing up in, I grew up in North Philadelphia, pretty tough little section of town. When I was 14 years old, I started boxing. Mind you, you're not a happy, well-adjusted little girl if you start boxing at 14 years old. You want to beat up people because you're angry. I always had an outlet for my anger. When I stopped boxing, I had drugs. And here I was sitting alone in a room with only my thoughts that disgusted me and my anger that I didn't know what to do with. I was lucky enough to have an associate who encouraged me to try NA. I went to a meeting. I drove to a place where they had a meeting after calling a phone number and asking questions. And it was a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. And I was parked in the parking lot. And I watched people walking into the meeting. And I disqualified myself from every single one of them. I said, oh, I can't go in there. That's a man. Oh, he's younger than me. Oh, she's a different color. Oh, he's not my type. Oh, she's looks like a meanie. Oh, I just found every reason I could not to get out of the car and go into the meeting. I did this for 5 nights straight. I sat out in that parking lot looking at the people walking in and out until, like they say, and I'm not a big fan of cliches, but it's true, until the pain got great enough. I started sitting there like, what are you doing, Kirby? Get the heck out of the car. My gosh, what do you have to lose? Maybe you'll get in a fight and it'll make you feel better. I hate to admit that now, but it is the truth. So I walked into the door. I don't know what NA is. I don't know what a 12-step program is. I am very, I was a girl who got by with her fists and with her brain. I didn't need to be told anything. So walking in that room, I had my back up. I had a little chip on my shoulder. And this man walks up to me. He's got long hair. He's got a Grateful Dead shirt on. He has no shoes on. Very hippie boy. And he hugs me. And as sure as anything, my fist cocked up, because I'm not used. You don't touch me unless I tell you can. And I couldn't believe that here someone was hugging me and I'm ready to punch this person. I didn't, thank goodness. But I stayed in the room and I listened to the readings. And then they asked if anybody was new. And I raised my hand. I don't know why. Normally I'm not, was never a person who wanted to let you in, quote unquote. But I raised my hand and My goodness, I talked for a solid 20 minutes. I cried my eyes out. And I don't know if I told you this, but I don't cry either. So that was a very big, very amazing moment for me in my recovery, just to vomit all this negative emotion out. Just perfect strangers. And when I was done talking, I looked around the room again, ready to fight whoever wanted to laugh at me. And all of a sudden, everybody stood up and hugged me. And then I let them. I hugged back. It was amazing. It was an intimacy I'd never known. I showed up the next night to a different, to another meeting at that same location, expecting to see the same people, but I didn't see them. I met more amazing people. And then same with the next night, even more amazing people. I mean, I didn't feel any difference at all between all of us. All I felt was I finally found my herd of black sheep. You know, I didn't feel like a misfit or an outcast anymore. Of course, I had a hard time in the beginning with sponsorship. You know, I don't need a girl sponsor. I beat up girls. I need a guy who understands that I love football and knows how tough I am. But eventually, with God's help, my God's help, I was open-minded enough to ask for help and let you all help me. So within the first 2 years, I couldn't believe how much my life had changed. I was proud of the work I was doing at my job. I was a good boss. I was a good employee. And apparently they caught on too because I got a promotion and I was doing well in that aspect. For the first time in my life, I was living on my own. I wasn't jumping from flat to flat, you know, hoping people will let me stay another couple months if I share my drugs with them. For the first time in my life, I bought my own television. I know that sounds silly, but boy, that was the first big purchase I made in my life, was a television. I was very proud of this little TV because it was mine. But most importantly, for the first time in my life, in the first 3 years that I was clean, I lived alone and I sat alone in my flat, and I wasn't frightened. I had bad thoughts. I'm an addict. My first thought is always going to be wrong. But I had faith and patience and love enough for myself to wait for the second thought to come. I remember sitting in a little recliner in my first apartment and just crying that, oh my gosh, I'm sitting alone and I'm not hating on myself. I love myself. It was just an amazing feeling. In December of 2012, I had 3.5 years clean. I was making friends. I had such a strong circle of friends, girlfriends too, and I liked them all. I was learning how to be a girl. And I was successful at work. I had just moved in with a man. We were engaged to be married. I was planning my wedding. And I was involved in service. I was in area service. I was just so happy, you know, the living the dream that they tell you about. I had an accident at my job. I'm a production manager for a construction company. I was cleaning up a hazmat spill when I was hit on the head with a steel beam. I was immediately paralyzed on my right side and could not walk or talk. I couldn't talk. And it was a very traumatic experience for me. I never lost consciousness. So when I talk about it, it's a little difficult. I get flashbacks. But needless to say, I was helicoptered right then and there from the site and taken into trauma. And one of the things I do remember is my family coming to talk, see me, what for what they thought was the last time, and how proud I was that my mother and father One of the first things I heard them say to the doctors were, do not give her narcotics. She does not want any drugs. How? That's the point of my relationship with my family I'd come to, that they were defending me and open to say she's allergic to narcotics, don't give her drugs. I was just so proud, because if I didn't live, my parents would know I was clean. I was very proud of that moment. I had no major fractures or bleeds. I was very lucky. I just had to start major therapy to learn how to talk and walk again. I had a traumatic brain injury, a severe one. I was hit on the right side of my head. So in the blink of an eye, my whole life was gone. I couldn't work. I couldn't talk. I couldn't drive. I was very distraught. But I never, not for one second, did I doubt that I'd get better. I'm a fighter, you know? I'm used to fighting my way through these things. I'm used to, you know, I've gone into fights with broken ribs and still pulled out a win. I've given myself stitches. I've cut off my own casts. I mean, I'm a tough girl from Alni. I know how to fight my way through things. But this was a different type of injury. This wasn't a bone. This wasn't stitches. This was my brain. And it's not a muscle. I had no concept of what was in store for me. But I knew that I had something now that I never had before, and that's support. That's people who loved me and who wanted to see me get well and stay clean. So about 18 months after the accident, I started therapy. I started doing very well at therapy. I was able to communicate. I was walking. I was talking. I was going back to meetings again. I even started puppy therapy, I call it. They would take me, therapists come to the house and would take me out of the house to go volunteer at an animal shelter, to clean dogs' cages, takes them for walks, keep track of their paperwork. I felt like I was working again. It felt great. And the more I was relearning how to do these things, I started having seizures. I was having 2 to 5 a week of seizures, and they started me on medication. Within 6 months, I was having 5 to 10 a day, and my kidneys had failed because of all the medication I was on. It wasn't working. It was very frightening. I was very angry that I did all this hard work for what? So that I can, I'm strapped to my couch in my own home. I can't even go outside. I can't go to meetings. I was angry. It was very taxing on me and my fiance at the time. No couple should have to go through what we went through. I was frightened again. I was frightened and I was angry. I felt very betrayed by my body and by my brain. But I never wanted to get high. I didn't. I could have, and I did tell myself that nobody would blame me if I did, but I didn't want to. I loved the person I had become, and if I wanted to work hard to get back to some semblance of her, I had to hold on to her, not the person that I was while I was an active addict. So in 2015, I underwent 5 separate brain surgeries to remove the damaged part of my brain that was causing all these seizures. I had a lot of scar tissue building up in my brain that needed to be removed. It was very frightening because they didn't know how certain things would be affected, if my personality would change. I would be worse off than when I started. I would have permanent disabilities. And they didn't even know if I would make it through the surgery, let alone how I would wake up and who I'd be. It was very taxing time. And it's no coincidence that while all this was going on, I was working on my third step. And, you know, I've always been an intellectual. I got a full scholarship to college. I was always a very smart girl. I didn't have to work hard at school either. So it was very hard for me to not be able to communicate, for me not to sound smart anymore. When I wrote my step work, was writing my step work, I read back on it now. I just learned how to read last year. And I was writing it not to connect to my higher power or to myself, but because I wanted it to sound really good. It was like I was writing it like a theme paper. But when I was getting wheeled down the hallway for my 9-hour brain surgery, the last one, I'll never forget that feeling of, you know, there's nothing I can do at this point, God. I trust that, you know, maybe I won't talk to you again, or maybe I won't remember any of this, but I know whatever it is, I have faith. Like, it was a real talk about making a decision to turn my will and my life over. It was amazing. It was another spiritual awakening I had. 9-hour surgery, 391 stitches and staples. I have a really gnarly scar. It's very cool, if I do say so myself. And intense rehab afterwards. I can say with such pride that I live alone today. Just this past December, I moved into my own home. I'm able to care for myself. I have therapists that come to the house 2 days a week to help me with things. And I still go to physical and balance therapy. But I am able to live alone, and I'm able to go to meetings. I'm disabled, mind you. I'll never drive again. I'll never work again. But they even gave me a cat, and I haven't killed her yet. Some brain injury humor there. But the thing that I'm most proud of is that this accident happened to me when I had 3.5 years clean. I've had 5 surgeries. My relationship ended. God bless him. He stayed with me, mind you. I'm the one who ended it, because I don't recognize my reflection in the mirror. I have to find a way to fall in love with this new person, this disabled woman. But I've lost friends who didn't understand and couldn't cope with it. I've been through a lot of financial woe, a lot of physical pain. And this June, I will celebrate 10 years clean. I'm so blessed that I've made it through this so far clean. Because there's not a doubt in my mind that if I picked up to use, I never would have made it. The depression, the acceptance, the pressure of trying to fix myself and not being able to. If I was using, I just would have done it until I killed myself. There's not a doubt in my mind. My doctors often ask me, you know, how do you have such a great attitude? Like, you know, gosh, you're really doing great with this. You know, you're excelling, considering, like, what's your secret? And I stand up so tall and so proud. And I say, it's because I'm a junkie. Uh-huh. Yep. It's because of NA that I am able to keep moving forward. I may move forward slowly, but at least I don't move backwards. And it is not just my faith in my higher power, but it is my faith in the people in those rooms, from that hippie who is barefoot to my sponsees who, you know, when I was going through my surgery and going through these changes, I had to let a lot of them go because, you know, their recovery is dependent on someone being available as well. And ego could not get in the way of me saying, look, you need to move on. And I have one sponsee who I couldn't do that with, though, because I love them so much and they helped me in my recovery. It's that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Regardless of the label on your relationship, it's just absolutely amazing. I just shake my head all the time with how blessed I really am. I'm sitting here looking around at my beautiful apartment with the cat who I haven't killed. And just pictures of family who I've gained back by working the 12 steps, looking outside at the kids playing, who I'll go outside to play with, because I do very well playing games with four-year-olds now. Pretty soon I'm going to win too. But, and even though I lost a relationship, I lost my identity as a hardworking, independent woman, I've actually gained new purpose through this. I now do advocacy work for brain injured people. I try to bring to light the epidemic that is invisible injuries and invisible illnesses. I was a semi-pro boxer, so I have a lot of connections in the athletic world, and I try to raise awareness for concussion awareness. And I'm an advocate now for something that could have ruined my life and has in many ways, but I have hope today. Oh, hope is the greatest high I've ever been on. It truly is. Hope is an amazing thing, and I would never trade it in for anything. And because of that hope that my higher power has bestowed upon me through you all, through all of your stories, through all of your shares, I can't wait to wake up every morning and give back to somebody, whether it be a brain injured person, me telling them, look, I couldn't walk or talk for years, and I didn't have to get drunk or high to feel better. Or whether it's to an addict saying, look, you can get through anything clean. Here's my story. Just don't give up. Staying clean must come first. Have faith in yourself, in your relationship with your higher power, and in your relationship with each other. I just love the life I have today. As disabled, dented, and wobbly as it is, it's the finest life I've ever had. I'm truly grateful today, and I'm very grateful for y'all letting me share my story with you. Thank you so much.